2 Kings 5, verse 1. And Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man before his master, and honorable, for by him Jehovah had given deliverance to Syria, and he was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "Oh, would that my lord were before the prophet that is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." He went and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, well, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And so on. Verse 8. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his garments, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why hast thou rent thy garments? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And Naaman came with horses and with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." And Naaman was wroth, went away, and behold, I thought, he will certainly come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned away, went away in a rage. And his servants drew near and spoke to him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bidden thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he says to thee, wash and be clean?" Then he went down and plunged himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And one more scripture in Philippians 2, verse 5. "For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, granted him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly, earthly, infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. We're privileged, dear friends, to gather once again to hear the gospel message. What a message it is. It's a message that is needed to the world tonight. It's a message of hope, a message of salvation. And I've read these scriptures just to bring out the thought of this man was a great man before his master. Think of his credentials. And yet, it says he was a leper. Think of man tonight as away from God. And this man's life was changed. It's fine when there's an answer as the gospel goes out, that the sinner is convicted that he needs a Savior. And God has provided the Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. That title belongs to him. And he's the Savior indeed of mankind tonight. Think of how it would be said, this indeed is the Savior of the world. We thank God that we have such a one to present. Tonight he's a living Savior, and he's out in blessing to every man, woman, and child. Think of God's interest in each one tonight. As the word goes forth, that there might be an answer. Well, this man we've read about him many times. Naaman, there's seven things said about him. Think of seven things. It starts with Naaman, the man. It says he was a great man. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. Think of his credentials. Think of his position. He was a great man before his master. He was honorable. And it says Jehovah had given him deliverance to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. And yet, it says he was a leper. Think of that. Think of the last word, he was a leper. Well, we think of what sin, dear friends, has brought in. Brought into the human race. Think of the pleasures of sin. And yet we think of the sorrows of sin. This man was a leper. And yet there's one, dear friends, who can cure the leper. Think of the Lord Jesus here. What a pathway it was. We've sung about his pathway through the scene from the manger to the cross. And yet he was one who could approach the leper. One who had compassion upon a leper. One who could heal a leper. And how it says, I think, in Luke, it says he told his disciples, go to John and say, what a mission the Lord Jesus had. What a life of perfection. Think of that brief life of the Lord Jesus. 33.5 years. And yet, he was, it says, take me not prophetically in the midst of my days. What a life that was pleasing to the will of his God and Father. How he could say to his disciples, go bring back word to John of what ye have seen, what ye have seen, what ye have heard, that blind see. Well, dear friends, man without Christ is blind. Blind see, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, poor are evangelized. Well, that was the life of the Lord Jesus, and was a life of divine perfection, every step of the way. Divine perfection in a man. And yet, he was the sinless one. The one who knew no sin. The one who was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think of that. The one who took our sins on his own body on the tree. Well, dear friends, think of the work that the Lord Jesus went through. That pathway of his, it led only to the cross. And we read here of this man and what he had to go through ere he came to it to wash. It says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. How slow he was, what he tried, the letter to the king of Israel, but that was no use. He had to go to the prophet, to Elisha. That's just like the gospel message tonight, as it goes forth. And goes forth from faith to faith. You must believe. Faith is you believe and trust in God. It's from faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you need faith. We were reading today as to the disciples, how they needed faith. The Lord was on the boat, and the boat was going to sink, and yet they had to wake him up. And they could say, Teacher, we are perishing. And the Lord could say to them, where is your faith? Dear friends, have you faith tonight? Have you put your faith and trust in one glorious man? A living man who went into death, a man who went into the depths of death, but a man who came out of death. Death could not hold Jesus. He came out as a living Savior, and he's living tonight as the Savior, a Lord and Savior. And what it is to have your faith certain, assurance in your soul that you know him as your own personal Savior. Well, that's what we read today. But we see here the thought of the way that Naaman moved, and yet he had to come to it that there's only one way. And that one way was to believe, and believe in the Word. The importance of believing. He could say, I thought he will certainly come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah's God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. He spoke of the Abana, the Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of the Israel may I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned away in a rage. And his servants drew near and spoke to him, my father, if the prophet had been thee, do some great thing, wouldst thou now not have done it? How much rather that then, when he says to thee, wash and be clean. It's a question mark. Wash and be clean. Think of the evangelist, the spirit of the evangelist in the little maid. One who was taken away, I suppose, from her parents, captive. She was a captive. And yet, think of her message. What a message it was that to go to the prophet that is in Samaria. That's the message. Think of the word that comes tonight. It's if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. Well, the servants here drew near. If thou hadst done some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he says to thee, wash and be clean. Dear friends, it came to Naaman that he had to go this way. 7 downward steps. Think of seven things that's mentioned about him. It says he plunged himself 7 times, one after the other, one after the other. The whole man was affected. It says he went down into the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child. It says, and he was clean. Well, that was a wonderful message. And we see how he was obedient. How he was obedient to the prophet. And it's obedience of faith. And it says his flesh became the flesh of a little child. Well, dear friends, it's good to take that place. Appropriate what the Lord Jesus has done in his death. Appropriate his death, his burial, his going into death, his resurrection. I just thought of that too. It says, whoever, it's in Luke 18, as to the rich, those who trusted in themselves, 2 men, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee prayed to himself, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men. And we have this tax gatherer standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes even to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. Think of how God delights to hear that message. O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. The Lord said, I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Well, that's the path that Naaman took. He went down into the Jordan, plunged himself 7 times according to the saying of the man of God. He had obedience. It was the obedience of faith. And that's the gospel tonight. To trust in what Christ has done. The way that he went into death. That's why I read the second scripture. It says there, the 7 downward steps. The Lord Jesus, what an example he was. Think of the Lord of glory, the creator of the world, creator of this universe. And yet, we think of the way that Paul brings in him here. He does not speak of his apostleship, Paul, but he speaks of himself as a bondman. He is going to speak of the bondman, one who took a bondman's form. And what affected me was 7 downward steps to Calvary's cross. The way that the Lord Jesus had to go for you and for me. We read of the 7 plunges that Naaman had, but it was because of his sin. He was a leper, but his life was completely changed. And it's fine as you get a touch in your soul as to what Christ has done. Your life can be changed as you put your faith and trust in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Your life can be changed. Dear friends, the blood tonight is on the mercy seat. It's on the mercy seat. And we can proclaim mercy to the whole world. And that's the answer to the great question of sin. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, can cleanse from every sin, can cleanse the vilest sinner. And we see it with Naaman. His life was completely changed. As a leper, his flesh became like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Well, it's fine to be in the presence of God as a forgiven sinner, as one who has been cleansed from their sins, that there should be a return from each one of us, a greater response to the heart of the living God, the one who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish. That's the word for this world tonight. Think of how many are perishing. And yet, what it is to have a link with what Christ has done, a link with the Savior, and what the link as to that completed work at Calvary's cross. Well, it's a wonderful scripture, this. In Colossians, it's Philippians 2. Apostle says, "For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on equality with God." Think of who he was. Think of the Lord and the greatness of who he was. And yet, it says, he emptied himself. Emptied himself as God. Taking a bondman's form. These 7 downward steps to the cross. It should affect us, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, the way that he went, by the way of the cross, he came to die. It says, taking his place in the likeness of men, having been found in figure as a man, it says he humbled himself. Humbles himself as man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Dear friends, he had to go this way for you and for me, for the sinner. And think of the foundation that was laid at Calvary's cross. What a foundation it was that God can come out tonight and forgive the sinner because of what Christ has done. But we see here the delight that God had in him. Wherefore, I like that word, wherefore also God highly exalted him, highly, and granted him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Think of that. At the name of Jesus. What an attractive and personal name of Jesus. And dear friends, every knee is going to bow to him. It says every knee should bow. Here, every knee should bow. The other scripture says every knee shall bow. Shall bow. Whether you bow in grace or whether you do not, you'll have to bow to Jesus. You will have to own him and own who he is. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. Well, that's the wonderful thought that God has, that he will be publicly in the scene where he was cast out. He was cast out as worthless, and yet in the very scene he will be publicly vindicated. In a day to come, God will see to it that he will be vindicated. Well, may our hearts, may we give him the place that belongs to him. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. Well, that's, I suppose, that there should be a return of praise and glory to the blessed God, the God who gave his only begotten Son. Well, that's just a thought that one had for the preaching. The seven plunges Naaman had to do. It was obedience. And he was not, he wanted to do other things. But he was obedient to the saying of the man of God. And it says his flesh became like the flesh of a little child. Well, God delights in that. That you take the lowly place. The Lord Jesus took it, and yet he's been accorded the highest place, and he lives a man at God's right hand in glory tonight, and he's coming again. The one who he's going to come for his own. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will hear that shout, and they'll be with him eternally. The triumph, dear friends, of God's grace, God's mercy. Paul experienced it in his life. It says, mercy was shown me. I was a chief of sinners. I was disobedient. The one who persecuted. Think of the Paul persecuting those who were of the way. What a persecutor he was. And yet the Lord had in mind for him, that he should be blessed. And think of that voice from the glory. He could say, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul said, "And who art thou, Lord?" Lord Jesus could say, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Well, what a vessel. He was the greatest hater, I suppose, of God's people at that time. And yet, he became the greatest lover of the church, of the saints of God. And that's the great transformation as you come in contact with the living Savior, that your life might be changed here, that you might walk here in newness of life and be here for God's glory and praise. May there be an answer in each one of our hearts. May God add his blessing.